Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to another broadcast on Blog Talk Radio of the Prophetic News. And today, we are going to have a special guest for you, Russell Kelly. He has a PhD in on the subject of tithing. So this man knows what he's talking about. If you spent that many hours studying, then you have some information, and it's a little different from what Kenneth Copeland, Fred Price, TBN, Creflo Dollar, and the rest of them. It's very different than what they teach because apparently they have not read their Bibles, or obviously they have not read their Bibles, and so they don't know what they're talking about. But anyway, this is a live call-in program today. And if you have any questions or comments for Russ, please call in to 914-338-1638. And also the chat room is open. So you can voice your comments or your questions, and we'll be happy to get those. Also, you can go to YouTube, and on YouTube you can put in Russell Kelly and come up with some of his YouTube videos. He's got some great videos on there that he did in London for Revelation TV, where he actually is debating someone, although the the person he's debating doesn't really have much knowledge about tithing, so it wasn't really a debate, but he didn't really want to tell the truth about tithing. The man that Russell Kelly was debating, because he obviously didn't read his Bible either. So we come to find out that we are free to give as the Holy Spirit directs us, and as a Christian, we know that we're supposed to give. All Christians are supposed to know that. So if you don't know it, then maybe you're not saved, because it's supposed to be something that comes natural to a Christian, is that you know that you give because God was a giver, and we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and he tells us how to give, who to give to, and you're not obligated to give to one person, which usually the pastor tells you that you are under an obligation, otherwise you are cursed by God Almighty if you do not give to the storehouse, and they put you in all kinds of fear that God gets mad at you if you don't give him money. So I wonder myself sometimes actually what God would do with money since he doesn't have any in heaven. It would be a little odd for God to have money, and we wonder, what God, does God sit up in heaven and count dollar bills? Does he have any silver dollars up there or any gold coins? Do you think that God Almighty has any of that? I don't think so. But yet, so many of the preachers and pastors will tell you that God opens up the windows of heaven and he pours out a blessing. So he rains dollar bills out of the sky, gold coins, silver dollars. And all you have to do is give him some money and God gets happy. So I don't know. To me, that's a strange God. I don't know that God. My God that I know, Jesus Christ, he went to the cross for me, so he gave up his life for me. So I don't have to pay him off with money. I didn't have to give him any offerings when I got saved, when I got born again. I didn't have to give any offerings to get God to hear my prayers, to answer my prayers for me to get saved. I did it by faith. So I think that it works the same way with finances, that we pray and we ask God to bless us. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. And so when I need something, God even knows I need it before I tell him. And I don't see any scriptures in the Bible. If you see any scriptures in the Bible that Jesus ever asked anybody for any money before he did anything for them, please, will you please show me those scriptures? Because I personally have never seen those scriptures, and I don't think they're there. I think most of these prosperity preachers, they make that stuff up for their own benefit so they can have another jet and another mansion and a Rolls Royce and a Bentley. And meanwhile, we're taking the bus. And anyway, I want to welcome everybody that's in the chat room. Hi, Brother Vincent. Glad you can be with us today. And the other guest in the chat room. And I'm going to bring my special guest on. Hello, Brother Russell.
Well, hello, darling. How are you today?
I'm fine. It's good to hear you.
I lost your phone number, and yet I kept it on the computer email, so I've been going crazy trying to find it. Just now called in.
Uh-oh. Well, thank you, Jesus.
I'm ready.
I know. You're ready, instant, in season. And to give our listeners a little background in case they don't know you, would you give a little background about yourself?
Well, I'll be 68 in December. I'm retired. I wrote a PhD in 2001, Should the Church Teach Tithing, and opened my website, and it's been going strong ever since then, the book and the website, and I'm getting at least 400 hits a day on just the tithing part of it alone.
Wow, great.
And it has, matter of fact, I was on Wikipedia a few years and I got back on it. So if you want to read everything about me, just go to Wikipedia and type in Russell Chubb.
Uh-huh.
And I'm glad a good friend of mine, Robert Fox, worked tirelessly to get me back on there. Now, this thing about Rick Warren is the result of James Sundquist just bugging the death out of me.
Well, James is persistent. He's persistent, but I asked him if he, you know, would like to call in and have a chat, but he had to go to he has a little girl, so they had a birthday party. You know how that goes.
Oh.
They had to go to a birthday party.
Yeah.
So he wasn't able to join us, but I did invite him. I thought it would be interesting to hear his two cents, too.
Yeah. Well, some of my stuff comes off of his website. Most of it all of it comes from material he has sent me.
Yeah.
So he gets the credit for the material. And I'll just have to give, rather than look at what he said, I just thought I would just present my own viewpoint on the, because he did comment on a lot of it himself.
Yes. But you, how long now, how many years have you actually been studying this subject?
Oh, my gosh. I went back way back before then, probably at least 1990 in that area.
Wow.
I gave this story last time I called in that my father was a Sunday school teacher, Southern Baptist Church, Jacksonville, Florida, and worked three jobs to hold up the family of eight and had the best Sunday school class in church. And finally, they walked into the house one day and they said, "Sorry, but you're not tithing, so we're going to take your class away from you," which destroyed him, really.
Yeah.
He went into a nosedive drinking and never did come out of it. And I determined if I ever had the chance to study tithing, I would look into it. And finally, I did.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, Russ, that when you read the Bible for yourself, what you find out.
Well, I saw every day on the internet there's some sort of story of a woman says, you know, I'm out of money, I'm behind on all my bills, I can't pay the bills, and what do I do? And the preacher comes back and says, "I don't care whether you're behind your bills or not, you need to tithe to the church first." That makes me want to vomit, to tell you the truth.
Yes.
That is so, so wrong. There
yes.
are people all over this country, probably this world, who tithe and they go home and either have to cut their pills in half or just do without them.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to be cursed because the preacher said, "We
oh.
get your tithe, it's the first fruit."
Yeah, would you explain to people what that means in Malachi, that whole Malachi 3, the one they beat people over the head with?
Well, my version of it is probably one of the rarest versions in the world. And first of all, the biblical tithe. Now, I want to say, as used by Malachi and as used by Jesus, neither one of them went back and picked up the definition used by Abraham. Therefore, if you're going to argue what Jesus said, you have to use the definition given in the law, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, the first error of Malachi is the error every tithe teacher makes. It's a hermeneutical error concerning the law. The law is an indivisible whole only given to Old Testament Israel.
Yes.
And you cannot pull one thing out of the law and throw everything else away and say, "Oh, that doesn't apply today, but tithing does."
Yes, yes.
They have no, the word is, the fancy word is hermeneutic. The easy word is principle of interpretation.
Okay.
They have
yeah.
no legitimate, consistent principle of interpretation that allows them to say tithing still valid, but nothing else is, you know.
Yes.
And it's the entire book of Leviticus, the last couple of words in Leviticus, the last four verses discuss tithing. And they call it holy. It is holy unto the Lord. Well, if you read the rest of Leviticus, everything in that book is either holy or most holy. The priest's hat and this and that and the little, you know, the pots and pans. How can you say, Warren says if it's holy to the Lord, then it's always holy to the Lord and cannot become unholy to the Lord.
Yeah.
But it was only holy to the Lord in the context of the old covenant.
Yes.
In Nehemiah 10:29, if people have any, they're writing this down. Nehemiah 10:29 is Malachi's audience, where they stand before the whole nation together, says, "We take this covenant as our covenant. We take these blessings upon us. We take these curses upon us if we do not keep this covenant." So Malachi is, in Malachi 4:4, also says, "You remember the law of Moses, the commandments, the judgments, and the ordinances." So Malachi is so much part of the old covenant that you cannot understand it if you try to explain it outside of it. And so that's the first. They break all of those rules, and Warren never, I've read everything, he never makes an attempt to explain how we are a new covenant church, but we're going back and we're picking up giving principles from the old covenant. He never
yeah.
makes an attempt to do that.
Yeah, well, what do you think is behind Rick Warren doing that?
Well, they all do it, though. All the tithe teachers do that. He's just falling there. But it goes a little, it's, I don't know. I wish they would lock me in a room with them for a couple of days. I would have him in a straitjacket.
I wish they would. I wish somebody would go down to the church and stand up and protest. You know, if you could.
I wish they would just get the two of us and lock them in a room.
Yeah.
And he'll need a padded cell before it's over with, because I'll straighten him out.
I'm telling you, that would be the thing to do, is to head on down to his church on a Sunday morning, and when they take up the tithe, stand up and say, "Hi, I'm Russell Kelly, and I object."
And you are teaching a lie.
Amen. I want to see people start doing that. I think that they need to be confronted, because you can't usually walk up to Rick Warren and say, "Hi, how you doing?" I'm sure he's got bodyguards and whatever.
If you want to say some other things before I get started on Warren, we'll go down the line on what he said in writing.
Okay.
Are we ready? You want to talk to somebody else first?
Okay, I'm gonna open the lines are open. So if you would like to call in, if you have any questions for Russell, 914-338-1638, and your questions and comments will be most welcome. But before we get into the Warren thing, so the actual tithing was always food, correct?
There are 16 texts, and anybody with a concordance can look this up. They don't have to take my word or your word for it. Look it up yourself. Do your own homework. There are 16 texts that describe the contents of the holy tithe, and I stress holy tithe, because Abraham's tithe was a unholy pagan tithe from Sodom and Gomorrah, of all places, as if that would have been allowed in the temple today. You know, it's goofy to act like Abraham sets the example of tithing.
Nothing he tithed
would have ever been led inside the temple.
Right. That's a good one. I've never heard that. That's excellent.
The tithe is only food from inside God's holy land. And it's only that which God has increased by a miracle. See, we don't make a tithe by something we build or do. The only tithe was what God did and man harvested.
Yes,
and it could only
yes.
come from inside his holy land.
Oh,
everybody
wow.
wants to quote Psalm. They want to quote Psalms 24:1. Oh, the earth is the Lord's and everything on it. Well, that's true. It was true in the Old Testament. But while that's true, God still only required accepted tithes from off his land. So
yes.
you can't use that argument.
So the when they talk about God opening up the windows of heaven and pouring you out a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive. What does that actually mean?
It's talking about the food from the Holy Land of Israel.
Right.
Bring
talking
all
about
the tithes
rain. Is he talking
store?
About rain? He's
of course
opening
he's talking about rain. I don't think that's an apocryphal book, therefore we should interpret it literally.
Okay.
Does not verse 10 say, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house or meat
yes.
in my house?
Yes.
I mean, this is 1,000 years after the tithe was given in Leviticus 27, and it's still only food.
Yeah, it's still only food.
400 years later, Jesus says, you tithe mint and cumin. This ought you to have done.
That's what he said. It's still only food. That's what he said.
But they didn't have money in those days. But you better look that up, because Genesis alone contains the word money 44 times.
Wow.
And, before you get to the tithes in Leviticus.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and if you didn't have money, you couldn't pay your head tax. You couldn't pay your fines. You couldn't pay your vows. Oh, they had plenty of money. Money was required for use in the sanctuary, but it was never called a tithe.
Yes.
So that argument goes out the window.
Yes. Now, what about who was cursed with a curse? Who was the actual person that was cursed with a curse in Malachi? Is it the poor little person sitting in the pew on Sunday that doesn't have their 10% to give the master pastor? Or who was the real person that was cursed with a curse?
It was the food producer inside Israel, first of all, who didn't bring his tithe. But in the context of Malachi, it's the priest. you see, the little pronoun you in Malachi is you always refers to the priest in the book of Malachi, beginning in chapter 1, verse 6. This is for you, O priest. And he says, you have that which is good in your flock. In other words, the people had given them good, healthy animals for tithes. And the priests weren't required to tithe. Figure that out. Ministers aren't required to tithe, even if it was a New Testament doctrine. The priests were not required to tithe. They were expected to give a vow of the best of the tithes they had received. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, nobody ever reads chapter 1. They only read chapter 3. Says, you have that which is good in your flock, but you bring that which is lame and blind. Thus you are cursed.
Yeah.
In chapter 2, Malachi verse 1 starts this, again. Oh, you priests, this, I'm talking to you, not to the people. I'm talking to you, priests. He curses the priest four times between Malachi 1:13 and 14 and 2:2. So why would in chapter 3 all of a sudden he said, "Oh, I feel sorry for the priest now. Now I'm going to curse the people."
Yeah, those poor.
See, that would be a big change.
Oh yeah, those poor little people that are coming in on Sunday morning and sitting there. Those are the ones that are cursed. They didn't bring me their 10%.
And we wonder why our churches are empty.
Well, I don't blame them. I mean, the people should be hitting the door running.
Somebody won't put me down every time I walk. Yeah.
They should be hitting the door running, running far away from these places, because I do think Christians, especially today, we have to take a stand. And if these people are preaching false doctrines, then we have to leave and go somewhere else, because there's no sense going someplace and sitting and you're just listening to a bunch of foolishness. I don't get it. But okay, so what about then Rick Warren and his teachings on tithing?
In his class 201, if you want to look it up on the internet or on my website, which is his little Bible study on giving.
Okay, so your website is?
Tithing-RussKelly.com.
Okay.
Tithing-RussKelly.com.
Okay.
This class 201 is on that web. You can find it a million places on the internet, but it's also on my website, what he said there. Now, he begins talking about giving what I call the salesmanship. Oh, you know, they start you off with something easy. He starts quoting all of these real nice things that everybody agrees with from the New Testament.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he swings into tithing. And he makes a comment, how much should I give? And he quotes Malachi 3:8-11. But that's not addressed to the church. There's not one. Matter of fact, later on he will say there's not one word of tithing in the New Testament address for the church. He even says that in the giving class. Well, he makes a comment. He says, somebody said, what is the difference between tithes and offerings? Well, he defines tithes as 10% of your income, which is not biblical. And then he says, offerings are anything I give to the Lord in addition to my tithe. Well, that is nowhere in the Bible. In Malachi 3, it says, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. It does not say tithes plus offerings.
Uh-huh.
In other words, the food producer who was expected to bring tithes was not bringing tithes, and the offerings from everybody else, even if it was to the people. But I think both of them refer to the priest stealing from the context of chapter 1.
Yeah, They're still stealing.
Well, if you look at chapter 2, verses 1-10, it's discussing the covenant with Levi. So we're still talking to the priest. Verses 11 and 12 are two verses that are in the third person, in other words, they, Judah, which that's the only two texts in Malachi, I think, are not referring to the priest. Then in verse 13, he goes back to talking to the priest again. He says, you cry, your tears are over the altar. Well, the people didn't do that. The people were not allowed to enter the temple
right.
area and cry and shed their tears
right.
over the altar.
Yeah.
So chapter 2, verse 13 picks up again with the priest. In the verse 17, the priests are chiding God. They said, oh, God, you haven't punished us yet. Where is all this judgment you're going to throw on top of us?
Yeah.
Well, chapter 3 is God's answer to the priest.
Uh-huh.
The judgment and the curse falls on the priest. he says in verse 2, he says, I'm going to enter the temple. I'm going to cleanse it. I'm going to purify the sons of Levi that they bring me a holy offering. That's the priest.
So it was the Levi.
And later on he says, it talks about you sons of Jacob. Everybody says, oh, that means he's talking to all Israel. Not necessarily. Are not priests sons of Jacob?
Mm-hmm.
Just because it says sons of Jacob. And then the next verse, verse 9, is the one that really throws them off. It says, you are cursed this whole nation.
Yes.
Everybody says, oh, that means that definitely is referring to Israel. But if you look that up in the NIV, the New American Standard, RSV, it says this whole nation of you. It adds the two words of you that are not in the King James. Because the Hebrew implies it means this whole nation of you. Of you who? Of you priests. So what he's saying is, you have robbed me, every priest in the nation is robbing me.
Yeah.
I know people haven't heard that before, but that's in the context of the rest of the book of Malachi. Because he's angry at the priests. In verse 10, where he says, bring ye the tithe, the whole tithe into the storehouse. There again, he can't be talking to the people in general because the storehouse actually had two little rooms. The temple is not the storehouse.
Right.
The temple contained. Let me say that. The temple is not the storehouse. The temple contained two storerooms. Storerooms for tents
and
tithes.
Yes, that's the storehouse.
The storehouse was two tiny rooms inside the temple.
Yeah.
Now, you can see that in Nehemiah 13:5, where they made two rooms into one big room for Uriah. Tobiah. And 1 Kings 6:6 tells you how big those rooms were. They were 10 by 10. So two of them would be 10 by 20. Therefore, if Malachi 3:10 is talking to all of the people, there is no way on earth for all of the tithes from the entire country of Israel to fit into two rooms, 10 by 20. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Well, how would you like to be a Levite or a priest living 50 miles away, and every time you needed food, you had to go to the temple to get it?
Yes.
See, Nehemiah 10:37 clearly says the people were responsible for bringing their tithes to the Levitical cities.
Yes.
And verse 38 says, and the priests shall be with you there when you receive tithes. They're with you. So even the priests are in the Levitical cities to standing beside the Levite when the people brought them the priests. The tithe. Then it says, and the Levite and the priest were responsible for bringing the tithes as they needed them to the temple to feed themselves for a week at a time. So when Malachi 3:10 said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, the you are the priests and the Levites, and the tithe is that which you need to eat while you're there. Malachi has really, really been twisted out of context.
Very twisted. Then they want to make the
storehouse the church. Well,
yeah.
The church did not. The early church. Anybody who's ever read early church history knows that the church did not have its own buildings legally for over 300 years after Calvary.
Yeah.
So Constantine made it a legal religion. Therefore, the early church had no storeroom or storehouse to put tithes in, even if it did collect them.
Oh, dear. It's amazing, really, what these so-called pastors and so-called Bible teachers, what they dream up and how they claim that they are Bible teachers and they are pastors, and yet they never read the Bible. They just make this stuff up, and really they have made up quite a fairy tale where tithing is concerned, because I would say 95% of the church believes the teachings and that are taught, the false teachings, which is really quite amazing when you think of it, that in this country everyone has a Bible, probably more than one Bible in their house. But yet that's a subject that they don't really study. They just listen to the pastor and listen to the TV preachers. And I know it took me 15 years before I really researched. I've been saved for 31 years now, but it took me 15 years before I finally started to research it myself and find out the truth. And then you have to face such a backlash from other Christians over the truth, how they will fight you on that one.
Yeah. Well, in Warren's class 201, his main text is Deuteronomy 14:22-23, and I wonder if he's ever even read the text. It plainly says the tithe is the food from the land of Israel, plus the firstlings of the animals, and he jumps on that to say, oh, the. In the second place, it's a second tithe. It's a festival tithe. None of it went to the temple. It was eaten in the streets. Well, if he's going to use that for his text, he ought to eat the tithes in the streets of Jerusalem. He ought not store any of it up. He ought to give it the rest over to the community, the strangers and aliens that live among you. And he ought to realize that the tithe is never a first fruit. That's their other big lie, is to call a tithe a first fruit. Oh, they quote Proverbs 3:9-10. That doesn't even discuss tithing. How can the first be the tenth? How can the tenth be? You know, if the first means the tenth, then numbers mean nothing.
Well, yeah. Why do they say that the first is the tenth?
To make sure they get theirs first. They don't care whether you can buy medicine or food or shelter. They couldn't care less. They want theirs first, therefore it's the first 10% of your income.
Yes.
In doing so, they abuse the poor.
Yes, they do.
In doing so, they mistreat the poor and ignorant. In doing so, they take advantage of people who don't know better or don't have enough sense to read their Bible for themselves.
Yes.
And I think in doing so, they're criminal by saying the tithe is the first fruit. And scaring the bejeebies out of people. Oh, if I don't bring the first 10% of my Social Security check to the church, I know I can't pay my bills or my rent or my electric bill and sweating to death in the air conditioning in this hot summer. But I have got to pay my tithe to the church. I'll be cursed.
Well, yeah.
I'll be shot, every one of them.
Well, I was a believer like that for many years myself. I was afraid that if I didn't pay my tithes, I was going to suffer financially. So when I realized then, too, that why was I living in fear? Yet the Word of Faith teachers are always telling you not to have the spirit of fear, and you're not. And you know how fear is demonic. And yet I was afraid of God that if I didn't give this 10%, that I was actually going to be cursed financially. But I found out that God, he's going to bless you because he's our Father. And I had some repenting to do myself for even believing that stuff. And for the things that I thought about God, that, oh, God was going to curse me if I didn't give him this money and bring it to my pastor. And but I made a great escape from these churches in the 90s, in the late 90s, and I turned my back on it, and I said, I'm not going back. That's it. If there's anything I can do to try to straighten out the mess that they've made and the reproach that they've brought to the name of Jesus, to actually make people believe that Jesus Christ himself would curse people that didn't give him money, it's ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
It's the curse of the law anyway, and Galatians 3:10 takes care of that. We're no longer under the curse. You know, the Hebrews, you know, last time I was on your program, I reminded your audience that the Christians and the Gentiles never were under the law. Therefore, it's wrong to say, I am no longer under the law. No, you never were under it. But even those who were under it, the curse was removed at Calvary.
That's right.
And Paul so clearly says in Galatians 3:10 that if you're going to expect to be blessed under or cursed under, blessed under the law, you have to keep all of it. Here's the problem with tithing. I know some people that tithe faithfully tithe, but they're living out of wedlock. You know, they're dishonest, they steal and everything else, but God's going to bless me because I tithe.
Yeah.
Well, the law required you to keep the whole law in order to be blessed under it. Everybody says, oh, test me in this. The tithing is the only text in the Bible where God says, test me. It may be the only text in the Bible where the word test appears, but in the context, the whole law was a test. Do all of it in order to be blessed. Break one of it and you'll be cursed. The entire law was a test. And I dare anybody call in and say, no, that's not true. God's got to bless you for tithing even though you break the rest of the law. Somebody call in and prove that to me. It can't. It's the only place in the Bible the word God says, test me in this.
Oh, yes, yes.
Boy, you ought to read Deuteronomy 28, 29, and 30 and tell me that after you read those. Because
yes.
When it says, test me in this in Malachi, it's talking about the whole law. It may say tithing, but when it's the whole law that's required. That's clear in Malachi 4:4, which nobody reads 8 verses later.
No, they conveniently leave out scriptures that would expose their lies, and most of them are a bunch of liars. I doubt seriously, though, that, like you said, Rick Warren has even read these scriptures. Now, do you know, does he require his church members to tithe?
At the end of class 201, there's a little covenant. And in the covenant you sign, it says you agree to give sacrificially. Well, that's nice, but a friend of mine, Bob DeWay, has a website and reminded people that the book, The Purpose-Driven Church, has that in the detail, where after you sign that covenant, they give you a little card, and the card says that you agree to tithe. And Rick Warren says, I sign it, and I laminate it and give it back to them so they can carry it in their pocket. Well, isn't that cute?
Oh.
Rick Warren has signed a little card they carry in their pocket that says, I agree to tithe. Man,
wow.
I wonder if he's got a halo around him or something.
Yeah. So actually, he makes them enter into a covenant with him.
Yeah. I guess that's above and beyond the new covenant, because there's nothing in the new covenant about tithing. But if you're going to enter that old covenant and you're a preacher, the old covenant part about tithing says if you receive tithes, you're not allowed to own or inherit property in Israel. Well, is Rick Warren own, and do all these fancy prosperity preachers own and inherit property?
Oh, yes.
They refer to Leviticus 27, which describes tithes as food. They go back to Deuteronomy 14. They go to Malachi 3. They go all over the Bible except Numbers 18. And Numbers 18 is really the ordinance in the Bible that describes how the priests and Levites will be supported and includes tithing. Well, that ordinance in Numbers 18, there are 15 texts in the Bible, and it's quoted 3 times in that one chapter. You will have no inheritance in the land because you receive tithes. Well, no wonder they don't want you to read Numbers 18.
Well, get out your picket signs, everybody. Get out your picket signs. Oh, that would be great. Go into these buildings with a sign, or stand outside with a sign.
I'll be doing that soon, though.
I'm telling you, I've been tempted myself and to go over to these meetings. I'm not too far away from Tampa or Orlando. And when they start this foolishness, just to stand up and let my voice be heard. Because I think they need to be confronted with their lying and their thievery. But I notice here on your website, in the article that you've posted on Rick Warren, you've got here a tithing video to make your blood boil. So what is that?
Oh, my goodness. That's where Creflo Dollar is dancing on the money. He's taking his shoes off. And he, And he's barefooted dancing on the money, and people are going up there and throwing it at him, and he's just dancing all across and doing a little jig.
Oh. Wow.
You have got to watch that. It'll turn your stomach.
Oh, man. That's terrible. Well, you know, Creflo Dollar was arrested a few weeks ago.
That's right, for abusing his daughter.
Yeah, so I think God was giving him a little wake-up call.
Mm.
That was a little wake-up call, because I can imagine that Creflo was in the state of shock when he was put in handcuffs and taken away in a police car. He probably never thought when he woke up that morning that that was the fate that was going to await him. So I think God was definitely trying to get his attention. But what this covenant now this is quite shocking, really, that Rick Warren actually if you're going to join his church, you have to enter into a financial covenant with him.
Yes,
basically,
yes.
What it is.
Imagine Jesus telling that to the crowds and the multitudes.
Yeah.
Just they would turn around and left him so fast.
Yeah. Terrible.
And, can I say something to your audience that they probably won't like, because I know a lot of them are going to say, oh, no, that's the Bible I use. I call the NIV the not inspired version.
Well, that's the one I call the never inspired version.
In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
1 Corinthians 16, verses 1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints in Judea, the context is there's a famine in Judea. You do not send money to people in a famine. All the money in the world is not going to buy you food in a famine.
Right.
He was collecting food.
Wow.
On the first day of the week, let everyone lay in stores. God has prospered him that there be no, you know, gathering when I come. He's saying, put that food aside. When my ship docks, we're going to be in a hurry. Bring the food to the ship. We're going to take it to Judea. He's not talking about supporting the church. He's not talking about paying for a church building. He's talking about taking food to a famine in Judea. And the NIV inserts the word money in verse 2.
On the first day
of the week, let everyone put aside their money. That is so wrong. You ought to get that NIV and don't even give it to somebody.
Burn it. You know, actually, in the NIV,
they
call it.
If you want a good version, go to the. If you want, I prefer the King James, but if you can't read it, go to the New King James.
I prefer it too. I mean, that's the only one I'll read. But as far as the NIV,
I've got a long article on how these new versions were corrupted.
Sure, and that's where they get most of these false teachings. But the NIV actually, when I saw that the NIV actually called Satan the Day Star, which is the name for Jesus Christ, I said, that's enough.
Yeah.
No, that's enough. When they start calling Satan by Jesus' name, I'm not. This is not a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That upset me.
When they're quoting the Lord of Hosts, the NIV, and Rick Warren uses that, turns the word host into El Shaddai, God Almighty. And I said, what? I looked it up in the Hebrew and said, no, it is not El Shaddai. It's the Lord of Hosts. And they just throw in what they think it should mean.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. So go ahead.
Warren, if you read what he never ever quotes a legitimate version of the Bible. It's some Today's Living Bible, the NIV. This never does he quote a legitimate version. So he don't even respect the Word of God.
No.
To quote an accepted, trustworthy translation.
Yes.
So that's manipulating the Word of God.
Yes, it is. Well, because you can, what I found is you can take any version of the Bible. You can lay them all down, 23 versions. I used to have some kind of a parallel Bible, and it had every version. But you could basically make it say what you wanted it to say, depending on what version you wanted to use.
Yeah.
So. And I noticed that a lot of these teachers, even I think Rick Warren uses the Message Bible, and some of these they call Bibles, but they're far from it. But, yeah, you can make it say what you want. So we've seen.
Isn't your website on prophecy? Isn't your website dealing with prophecy?
It deals with the end times, yeah, prophetic news.
Do you know what Rick Warren's comments about prophecy is? It's satanic. He will never preach on prophecy.
Oh, really? On end times?
He considers anybody that preaches and teaches on prophecy satanic.
Oh.
He actually says that.
Oh. Wow.
Where does that put you?
Yeah.
Okay,
What does he do with the book of Revelation?
Yeah, well, he'll never preach on it. It's distracting people from the gospel. Even though Jesus promised a blessing to those who read it, he will not read it.
Yes.
Here's that reference. It's from his first church, his first book, The Purpose-Driven Church, page 349. The signed covenant cards are collected. I sign them as a witness. We laminate them, and then they are returned so people can carry them in their wallets. And the 1972 Growth Covenant says, a weekly tithe to God, giving the first 10% of my income.
Wow.
That's in the Purpose-Driven Church, page 349.
Okay.
So I'm not making it up.
Wow. Now, you know, that whole thing, it sounds like some kind of little religious, it sounds kind of like the Catholic Church where we give you this card that we've blessed, and Rick Warren, I have signed this, I have touched this, and now you put it in your wallet.
Well, his actions are no different from a Catholic priest.
Yes, that's what it sounds
like. I love
like.
Catholics more than I love him. There are a lot of real dear Catholics in this world, but he's no different in the way his attitude.
No, as far as teaching, right. I mean, as far as the
main difference between Catholicism and Protestantism is that they say the individual is not worthy to correctly interpret the Word of God. That the the Church gave us a Bible. The Church is the final interpreter of the Word of God. Well, that's what Rick Warren has become.
Yeah,
the final interpreter
of
the Word of God.
The final interpreter. Anyway, if you do have some calls, we have about 12, 13 minutes left here. So if you would like to call in, if you have a question for our guest, Russell Kelly, it's 914-338-1638. And you can also go to YouTube. Russ did a very excellent debate, which it really wasn't a debate because it was kind of one-sided. There was one person telling the truth and the other person was trying to say the same thing over and over again. But on Revelation TV, he did it in London, and that series is on YouTube. It's really, really good. He was actually on television in London on a Christian network debating someone on the tithing issue, so I have to give them a lot of credit for even having you there. But do you have any intention of going back to England?
Nobody's asked me back. I would go anywhere I could. I could afford it or somebody could help pay for it to debate it. And this challenge has been out there for years.
Yeah.
I challenge anybody into a debate. If I'm so wrong, debate me and show me wrong before the world and nobody will take it up.
Well, it would be, I would like to see it happen. And I don't know what I could do, but, you know, I'd certainly be willing to do something to try to see you debate some of these teachers and have an open discussion. Yeah, let's have one. Let's talk about it, and let's get the truth out.
It's a lose-lose situation and everybody. For the other person, it's a lose-lose. They can't win no matter who wins the debate. If they win it, people have been infected by this false doctrine of mine. If they lose it, they lose a lot of church. They can't win no matter what they would do.
Well, the thing is...
Let me share with your listeners one of my very favorite texts. It comes from 1 Timothy 5:8.
Okay.
1 Timothy 5:8. Because Warren said, and I'm quoting him off of his own website, Saddleback Church, Warren says, the Bible says the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. There is no text in the Bible that says that is the purpose of tithing. Okay, Paul says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So Paul thinks that your first fruits, your first income is to take care of your own immediate family necessities.
Yeah, well, no, not according to these people.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to take care of them first, the pastor.
Warren asked the question, is God wise? Do you trust God? He says, oh, if you don't tithe, you don't trust God. Well, my answer to that is, why don't you follow the New Testament giving principles if you trust God? Why do you have to go back to an Old Testament principle, which is never repeated in the New Testament after Calvary?
Yes, why can't you just have faith?
Jesus taught tithing. Jesus had to teach tithing. If Jesus had not taught tithing, he would have been a sinner. He was teaching obedience to the law while the law was still in effect.
Yes.
Of course Jesus taught tithing. He had no option to do otherwise.
Yes, but he said it was food. He said it was food.
And he also said he was discussing matters of the law. This ought you to have done and not to have left the other undone. He's telling Pharisees, look, if you're going to teach tithing, tithe yourself.
Yeah.
Don't say I sit in Moses' seat and then not obey the law.
Well, we
you
have someone in the
chat
room, Russ, that said that he would like for you to come to Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. So Pardon?
Did he not email me a few months ago asking me to come there for a debate?
I'm not sure. Vincent, I don't know if you emailed Brother Russ or not, but...
Somebody from over there did.
Okay. But if that was you, Vincent, if you would like to email Brother Russ...
I would love to go.
Yeah, he would love to go. He said he'd love to go to Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. So set up a meeting and get him in. Get him in, hallelujah, and get the truth out. But in the meantime, you know, if you would like to invite Brother Russell to your city or to your radio program, or then please contact him through his website. Would you like to give your... email address or your website again?
Oh, sure. The email address is Russell, RUSSELL-Kelly, KELLY, @att.net.
Okay.
And the website is tithing-RussKelly.com.
Okay.
That's Kelly, KELLY.
All right. All right. So if you would like to invite Brother Russell, if anybody that's listening, if you would like to get together with a few people and help him out, pay his airfare, and you know, take care of him while he's there so he can come to your town and organize a meeting on the truth of tithing, I think that would be very exciting. But if you can't, get yourself a sign. You can have signs made up on the internet. From some of these sign companies, it would cost you about $20, $25 to have a sign printed up, and then you could go and stand in front of some of these buildings or even go inside and object to these false teachings and make these people tell the truth. Just confront them in a nice way and ask them why they lie about this whole financial thing and why they feel that they have to steal and take advantage of widows. And Jesus talked about it himself. He said, you rob widows' houses and you take advantage of people. And that's exactly what we're seeing today.
That's good. He was talking to tithe teachers when he said that.
Yeah. So as Jesus was saying that, so then we can say it too. He didn't hold back when he was rebuking these false teachers. I would rather, you know, have a real job and not have to sell myself for the gospel's sake, like these people have totally sold out to the devil, just to earn a living. And it's ridiculous, really, how the church is being presented today. And that people don't really, what is wrong with trusting God by faith to meet your needs? Like, whatever happened to that? I don't know. But anyway, so do you have any other closing comments on the Rick Warren tithing teachings?
Well, I'm ashamed that he's a Southern Baptist, because I was born and raised a Southern Baptist and saved in a Southern Baptist church. But they are just drifting slowly further and further away from conservative Bible doctrines. They should disfellowship him from the Southern Baptist Convention. His tactics are bullish. They're unbiblical. He has his way.
He's a Southern Baptist.
He forces the deal on other people. Huh?
He's a Southern Baptist.
The largest Southern Baptist church in the country, in the world, I think.
Wow.
Yes, he is. And that's embarrassing. I don't even know.
It is.
Mm.
You know, when you used to go into a Baptist church years ago, and I knew when I was going to the Baptist church, I was going to hear a good sound Bible message, and I was definitely going to hear a good message about salvation. But not anymore. Not anymore. It's really, really changed. But
yes.
So anything else that you want to? We have about 4 minutes left that you want to close with.
Well, if you've got any questions about Southern Rick Warren, you might check James Sundquist's website. I'm not sure the name of it right now. I'm sure you could Google it and find it.
Peace Plan.
Or just do a website of Rick Warren, and you'll see just tons and tons and tons of people that are opposing to his bullying tactics.
Yes.
And, you know, Jesus said, do not lord it over people.
Right.
And that's what he's doing. He's bragging about being reverse tithing. I don't know how he did it, but what do you have to do to get an end cap of your book in every grocery store, every bookstore, every Walmart, and every, you know, just in Kmart in the country? I don't know how he did that. But anybody could do something like that. I would live off the 10% gladly.
Yes. I know. Wow. When I think about it,
If I had my book on those incomes, I would live off the 2% or the 1%.
Well, you wish that you could have your book out there to.
But you see, he's just boasting when he does that. That's all he does is boasting. And there's all kinds of things about boasting in the New Testament.
Yes.
And he can reverse tithe. Wow. Or not even take a paycheck. Wow. Yeah, you try doing it. He has manipulated somebody and really pulled some strings to get that book into every store like that.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen any other book like that. Never.
No. It's amazing, isn't it, how he has been accepted. But, of course, he is friends with Rupert Murdoch, who is the publisher of many large newspapers, owns the Fox News Network. So that's who really does his promotion for him. And, yes, it is quite amazing how he's been accepted into the mainstream, which usually people that are really teaching the truth about God's word were not popular. But he's very, very popular. So I put the link to Russell's website in the chat room if you like. So please go there. And remember, if you'd like to organize a meeting in your city and bring Russell there, I would highly encourage you to do it, because you can really be a blessing to so many people and help to set so many people of the bondage that they've been put into by these false teachers and false prophets who have no real love for the people of God. But I want to thank you, Brother Russ. It's always a great pleasure to have you here on my program. And I always learn so much listening to you. And I appreciate all the time and the effort you've put into studying the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And to really help the body of Christ to grow. So thank you very, very much. And God bless you.
You're welcome, and thanks for your program, too.
Yes. I praise the Lord for it. It's a great blessing that God has given me this opportunity. And I get to meet wonderful people like yourself and James and all my friends in the chat room. Thanks. For everybody that listened today, and yes, it was a great show. So thank you, Jesus. We want to thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, today. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, please ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and to be your Lord and Savior. He's a precious Lord and a wonderful Savior, and we worship him and we thank him today for all his blessings. And Brother Russ and your family, good health to you. And we hope to be hearing a lot more about you in the days to come. God bless you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, everybody, thank you for being with us. And tune in next week, same time. Go to our website, propheticnews.com. Please go to Brother Russell's website, www.tithing-russellkelly.com. And read his articles. He's got many, many great articles there. You'll learn so much, and then you can get out your Bible and you can check it out with your Bible, and you'll find out the truth. And the truth makes us free. The truth sets us free. We're so happy when we know the truth because we enjoy our freedom in Jesus Christ. And if you need money today, just ask God. Tell him what you need. You don't have to pay him off. Giving is for us to give to other people so we can be a blessing to other people. It's like the Bible says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we know that, don't we? It is more blessed. So God bless you all. Don't forget to go to our YouTube channel too, Prophetic News TV. We're going to be revising our website in the future and our YouTube channel. So we'll see what the Lord does, okay? Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.